Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm a local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com, that will help you and aid you in your study of God's Word. These radio programs are there in MP3 files that you can download and listen to or make a CD of. We also have a host of Bible videos with several different topics listed in alphabetical order under Bible videos. They are 30 minutes in length. And then we have a host of other Bible-related material that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any and all the services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come with an open Bible and open mind and come and study God's Word with us. Today, we want to continue our study of the book of 2 Peter, and we're starting a new chapter. We're starting chapter number 2 of 2 Peter, and today we're going to examine the first three verses. 2 Peter 1, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. But there will also be false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Now, in this part of 2 Peter, we want to talk about the parable or the peril of false teacher. Now, the term false teacher occurs only once in the scripture, at the text that we just read. We are considering for our study the ideal, however, that it is abundantly revealed in other ways through the scripture. Perils. The perils of false teachers are made abundantly obvious in this chapter, where their destructive ways and destructive ends are both stated very plainly. The warning. While we still will confine our study mainly to this text, let us not be deceived into believing that all false teachers come in this color and in this style. They do not. A false teacher is just as destructive, even if he is morally upright and he's sincerely motivated. His doctrine is still false, and it still misleads people and can guide them into ways that are contrary to God. We will see in this particular study that their ways are deceptive, and the end is destructive, and it shows the defiled character of the teacher himself. False teachers and their deceptive ways. False prophets. Peter begins with a reference to the past and to the problem Israel faced because of false prophets. Those who refuse to warn and speak unto them smooth things instead of the right things. Remember, Jesus portrayed them as wolves in sheep's clothing in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13 through 15. False teachers. This word means what it says, a teacher who teaches that which is false, but who also is teaching false doctrine, brings brethren to destruction. Privily. The word suggests something done in stealth, or clandestinely, or in private. Hence, teachers are not open about the direction and destiny towards which they are moving in their teaching. Destructive heresy. Destructive in the same word that Jesus used to describe the end destiny of those who follow the broad way in Matthew 7, verse 14, and that Peter used later to describe the end of all those who distort God's word in 2 Peter 3:16. You can also see Paul's words in Philippians 3:19. It's a word that is used in contrast to salvation. Heresies. Heresy is meant a choice, but in time denoted a choice that leads to factions or a sect or a party of men devoted to a specific ideal, a cause, or a purpose. A party or sect. That could be used of the Pharisees and Sadducees that existed in Jesus' day, even by the church, by its enemies in Acts 24, verse 5, and chapter 28, verse 22. Perverted teachers, use of those who need admonition by truth, who must be refused by brethren, who are perverted and sinners, who are self-condemned, according to Titus 3 and verse 10. Here is not just men who are mean-spirited or factional, but who are teaching ideals that have destructive consequences. Scripture, God's revelation, clearly is the basis by which twisted, perverted ideals that destroy must be measured, according to 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. And they deny their master. Despot is a term used to describe Jesus as master, a declaration that he is the authority or ruler who controls the lives of the disciples. To deny is to deny the master, is to disown him, to renounce him, to reject Jesus, to reject his authority, which is the problem behind what these men have become. Bought them, this suggests ownership. They have been purchased by the blood of Christ. Hence, they are at one time redeemed. What they have rejected also is Christ as their owner and themselves as his possession. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It brings destruction. This is a word of perdition, which describes final loss and ruin. It is used a second time to show that it is approaching them swiftly as an impending doom that is drawing nigh. Now, let us look for a moment. It says, excuse me, false teachers and their destructive ways. What does it mean to be a false teacher? Now, there was a great discussion some years back that in order for a person to be labeled a false teacher, he had to have a corrupt character, that he had to have an immoral character. That's just not true. He may have that. He may not. He may not be corrupt morally. He may be a very good moral person. He may be a very good friendly person. He may be very outgoing. He may be very sincere, and he may really believe what he says, but the problem is his doctrine is false. That's what a false teacher is. A false teacher is one who teaches falsely. You and I can't judge the motives of a man. I can't get into his mind. I can't see into his heart. I don't know what his motive is. I don't know why he teaches it. I don't know what he is trying to get out of it. I could just judge him by what he says. You know, Jesus said, I want to read something that will help us in understanding the danger of a false teacher that was given by the Lord himself. Notice in Matthew chapter 7, as I referred to a moment ago, and I'll read verse 15 through 20. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree does not bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Therefore, by their fruit you shall know them." Notice, they appear in sheep clothing, but they're ravenous wolves. False teachers don't have a name tag. They don't tell you that they're teaching false. They don't tell you they're trying to mislead you. They don't tell you that they're working for Satan. They don't do that. Why? Because they're deceptive. Because they have an ultimatum and they hide it. It's kind of like a hidden agenda. They don't let you know what their motive is and what they believe. But you don't need to know their motive. I don't need to know their motive. All I need to know is if what they teach, is it true or is it false? And how can I know whether it's true or whether it's false? You'll only know that by comparing what they say with the standard. You have to compare their teaching to what God says. Notice in our verse it says, secretly bringing in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. You see, false teaching isn't out there just floating around. It's not just out there in the air. Somebody has to teach it. Somebody has to perpetrate it, and somebody has to suggest it. And so a false teacher is one that takes the message that is false, and he tries to teach it to others. Now, again, the only way you and I can protect ourselves from a false teacher is by knowing what the standard of truth is. Now, I want to remind you of another statement made by an apostle in 1 John 4, verse 1, where John wrote, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Notice, John agrees with Peter that there are many false prophets in the world. There are false teachers in the world. And so we're not just to believe them without giving them an examination. We're not just to take their word for it. Too many people take the word of someone that they have great confidence in and believe in. I can't tell you the number of times that I've been in discussion with people who I differ with on what they believe about scriptural things, and they will say, "Well, I'm going to go ask my pastor, or I'm going to go ask my minister, or I'm going to go ask my preacher, and then I'll get back to you." Let me give you a clue here. The minister, the pastor, the preacher is not the authority. The authority is God's word. If you want to know what God thinks about something, you need to go to his word. You need to open the book. You need to examine the text. You need to search it out. You need to make sure that what you're being taught is in accordance with God's will. I've told you, if you've listened to this program for any length of time, don't take my word for it. Read the scriptures that I make reference to. Look at them. Study them. Meditate upon them. Draw your own conclusions. But look at the scripture. I read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 this morning. In the first part of this lesson, I want you to notice that the Bible says that there are false prophets and false teachers. It's not a myth. It's not a mirage. They are real. They exist. There are men and women who claim to be servants of God, who claim to be ministers of God, who claim that they love God, who claim that they teach the truth, but they are ravenous wolves. They are teaching error. They are proclaiming error. They are proclaiming things that are false. And again, the only way and the only way that you can know is that you've got to know the truth. You've got to examine their teaching alongside the truth. You've got to know what the truth says. And if their version of the truth doesn't agree with God's book, then that makes them a false teacher. Now again, I'm not judging some man's motive or some woman's motive. I'm just telling you that there are false teachers that exist in the religious realm, and they exist right here in Harrodsburg. They exist in many different places here. And the only assurance that you have that you don't fall under their spell and you're not misled by them and you're not destroyed by them is you better keep your ears open and your Bible open. And you better make sure that what you're being taught and what you're being instructed, even though you might love them, even though you respect them, even you've known them for many years, but if their teaching cannot be found in God's word, they become an enemy to your soul. Read Galatians 4 and verse 16. Ladies and gentlemen, can you identify a false teacher? The only way you can answer that affirmatively is if you know the scripture. The scripture identifies the false teacher and the false teaching by what he says in comparison with the Word of God. We'll continue next week.